Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call it Top Star Free Bowling.
So I filmed my first BDSM scene for a short yesterday.
Well, that was an organic transition, and me and the audience, we want to know more.
And I think you set it up perfectly, honestly, with the clapping cheeks.
I mean, were cheeks being clapped in the scene?
No. It sucked. I mean, it wasn't anything actually sexual. It's a comedic thing. It's like the idea is this dominatrix is trying to get her sub to like have a better life. So with every smack, he's like, drink more water, get exercise, believe in yourself, and it's just fucking ridiculous. And it was just fun.
And I wish my dominatrix did that. Wait, what?
Wait, what? No, it was more of a test of these new lenses that I got for my camera, some Rokinon, some pretty, you know, they're not the most, they're pretty, I feel like they're pretty well known, and I like the way they look, and you know, it wasn't like crazy expensive too, so that was a very appealing aspect of it.
Well, no, like getting your own glass is, you know, a big step, especially if you, like, your production house, you mm-hmm. self-produce almost all your own stuff. Which you save a lot of money on renting if you've got your own in-house kit.
Honestly, like thinking about how much they ran us with how many times, how often we were planning on renting, it made more financial sense to just buy them.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's why when I'm working on a project over here and I'm thinking DP, there's only really one name that comes to my mind, because not just because of like the stuff that he comes with, because like the DP I use, he comes with like camera, comes with gears, mm-hmm. but like the contacts he knows, like he's I love it when someone tells me how much something should cost, and then they come in, so here's the deal I got you, and I'm like, bro, it could be like 10 quid off, and I'd be like, fuck yes, man, quid's in, like money off is money off, let's fucking get it, you know, that's 10 quid more to, you know, beers after we shoot or some shit, man. Like, let's mm-hmm. get it. Yes, you're hustling. And there's a bit of exciting news on your part. We're gonna have to bulk record some episodes because your bitch ass is going to Boston to film a documentary next month.
I am indeed.
Can we get a round of applause for Sebastian? Well done, dude. I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you, Thad.
That's a good early year move, my bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, I'm excited. It's going to be out there for a week, and it's our first in what we're hoping to be a series of mental health documentaries. Like, we've begun this process where we're reaching out to like therapists and stuff and seeing if they'd be interested in working with us. And thus far, the response has been super positive. We've gotten more yeses than we've gotten nos, and like, we're trying to sort out how this, like, each niche therapist is going to fit. And then, like, we're also planning on how to get to these fuckers, because there's some people who are based in Georgia, some people who are based in fucking New York. And I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing? What are we doing? But I'm also hella excited. This is excuses to fucking travel.
Yeah, man. Like, I was going to say, it's like, why are you complaining about going to those places? Like, literally on your board of things to do is visit places. And if you want to know, in brackets, it says not Vegas. Not that I've been in Sebastian's room that much. Speaking of places that you don't want to visit because we've been too many times, let's transition to today's episode, in which it's movies in Vegas.
Yep. Vegas is one of those cities, man, that you're like, should it exist?
I had such fun making this list, like movies that glamorize Vegas, movies that tear Vegas down, movies that like idealized Vegas for me. It was a nice sort of insight to sort of one of those places that for me in Birmingham in England, Vegas was like the tippy top of going to America. Like, you know, I'd already done New York, I'd done Miami and Florida. Yes, I survived Miami and Florida. I'd already done LA. Like, I was, I think it was my 20th, like, I was Christmas when I was 20. So I was 21st next year.
Yeah.
And, like, me and my brother were at some family Christmas party. And I looked at my mum and was like, Mum, I just got one thing I want to do for my birthday. And she's like, what's that? I want to go to Vegas. And she didn't say no. She was like, "Yo, that's a good idea. Like, if there's ever a time to go to Vegas, it's got to be when you're 21, because that means I can be in your country. I can gamble. I can drink. I can fuck. Not that I'm going to be doing much fucking with the family around or sharing a room with my brother. But hey, Tom, there's a sock on the door, man. You know what that means?
I'm having a wank. Respect the sock, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those places that I think, like, almost everyone has heard of. Everyone has an idea of Vegas. Like, you can close your eyes and you can picture Vegas, and I think 9 times out of 10, you're picturing like a scene from Ocean's 11 and Claire de Lune's playing. Like, you picture the Bellagio fountains, you picture the Strat, you picture the Eiffel Tower. Like, you have these just visions implanted in your brain. But then, like you said, it's one of those places that should it exist? Because once you go there, you kind of see, like, sort of how, like, there's no real substance to Vegas. It's a it's like going into a bookstore, picking out a book for a really nice looking cover, reading it, and just going, why was the cover so much better than the book? Like,
it's like fucking Fantasyland at Disneyland, dude. It's like, you know, you mentioned, you have this perception of it. Like, it's you get these thoughts and you set these expectations for what you want to do, and obviously because most of them are based off movies. Like, a lot of the movies
are based off movies, TV, music.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff you and I are going to talk about today, I have no doubt, like you mentioned, it heavily influenced the way you perceived Vegas. It heavily influenced the way I perceived Vegas. Like, the first time I went to Vegas, I was 12. So, you know, you're just like, it's cool. It's very cool when you're a kid.
You literally had to walk on the designated path from the elevator to the casino entrance. You step off that path, there are security guards you didn't even see ready to pounce on your ass, bro.
You know what's crazy? So when I went for my 21st, because, you know, I wanted to do Vegas right, And since then, I have been to Vegas almost every single year.
Since 2016, I've been, I think, 8 times.
Fucking me. Like, I
can't be sure.
I just know I've been to this fucking city so many times that any casino that I can walk into, I know my way around. Like, I can get, I know the city, and I have so much love for the city. Like, it's an escape. It is the ultimate escape at the end of the day, because Vegas can literally be whatever the hell you want it to be.
Oh yeah, it depends how much money you want to throw down.
Exactly. Exactly. But like, I've gone to Vegas on a budget and I've had the time of my fucking life, dude. You remember? I mean, for fuck's sake, you remember we went to fucking Vegas on a Groupon, dude.
yes, we did. But
we
gave two fingers to that Groupon.
Oh no, yeah, no, I'm fully aware, but it's what got us there.
Yeah, we got there for fucking dirt cheap, and then when we realized it was like a sausage fest.
Yeah.
And the only girls that were there were like, hadn't they just won their like state champ lacrosse team shit? So they were more into each other than so it's like, okay, hey, if there's no potential, I'm gone, bro.
And we bounced, we did our own thing, and it was fucking worth it. But like,
one of the things I remember from that holiday is going to the steakhouse in the Venetian, and thinking we got a mate's steak for free, only to get charged like the next day some shit for like $100. Like, hey, you didn't actually pay. Can you come pay for your steak? And I was like, shit, we thought we had him.
It's like, you didn't give me a receipt. You didn't give me the information that I needed to pay. I'm assuming I'm getting this for free, and I'm walking the fuck out. Mind you, we were also quite drunk.
Oh, yeah. Like, so I love going to Vegas with people that, like, sort of unexperienced. And one of the things they want to do is just get really drunk. I was like, here's what you do. You start at either end of the strip, and you choose either MGM Rewards or you choose Caesars Casinos to visit. And they ask me why. Because they've both got their own chain of like big, tall, alcoholic slushies. I know, I think it's Caesars has Fat Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And near each Caesars Reward Casino or in there is a Fat Tuesdays, so you can refill. You start at one end, you get one, you keep it for the day, and every time you go past one, if you're about to finish, you finish that fucker. If you haven't finished, finish that fucker. Because then you refill, so then you can keep going, and of course, you double up the shots, because it's only $1 extra. And that is a surefire way to get absolutely destroyed in Vegas.
They're so fucking good, too. Like, oh, so that's good. And that's why you get so fucked up. It hooks you with its flavor.
And I found most of those places, like, a little bit of, like, hey, how you doing? Gets you a little bit extra in your drink, man. Like, they know why you're here. Yeah. I know why I'm here. So just get me there. Like,
oh, man. Right. So, I gotta ask, was it hard for you to narrow this down?
Because
I had
one of my movies feels cheap.
Okay.
But I found a way to make it work. My other movies are very much like Vegas is the heart of the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I might start with my cheap one, actually. Just get that out of the way.
Yeah. Like, one of my concerns was, I was like, I found like a list compiling a bunch of movies that were set in Vegas. And I was like, shit, how many are we going to have in common? So I just have a bunch of them in case.
We may be in common, I think on maybe two. I think three of mine. If they're in your list, I'll be very surprised. One of mine isn't actually on any movies that set place in Vegas, but I know it does because it's a great fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So, in that respect, you want to kick us off?
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I'll kick us off. I'll go with my cheap one first, like I said. 1997 action flick, Con Air. We got Nicolas Cage.
Put
we got Charles Gusak.
The bunny down.
We got John Malkovich. So many more. Like that cast list is huge. I heard they got Denzel for the movie. Like, I love that fucking line from John Cusack. It's like, if you ever have a question, if you ever overhear a question at a bar, do you think you can land a plane on the Vegas Strip? Yes, you can. They do in Con Air. It's not pretty. It's not clean. Mm-hmm. You may lose the wings. People may die. But yes, you can. The nice. Strip is long enough for a plane to land. But it's like what I've said here. Like I've started writing down things to say for the podcast these days. As like Vegas doesn't really play a huge part in the movie, if at all. But after watching Con Air, you remember, you're like, what do you remember? You remember the huge set piece at the end that takes place in Vegas. And for me, that's a little hidden gem. Vegas is great, but in small doses.
Yep. Very, very. Ain't that the fucking truth?
Like, a key integral part of going to Vegas. Like, I've actually started writing a little script for myself. It's a bit of a, like, our time in LA story, which sort of features my struggles coming back home. Sort of is like sort of digging deep into like sort of where I am mentally. So it's not anything anyone ever going to read or will ever get made, but like just for me, like it's the best way to get stuff down. And I've called it the 48-hour rule. Now, if you've been to Vegas enough times, you know, or you will hear, someone will give you. Don't spend more than 48 hours in Vegas. If you do, that's when you're really playing with fire. You'll really start. You'll get stingy. You'll get pissed off because you've not met your expectations. And I just think Con Air is like, it's one of those movies. It's like it chugs along, and then there's just this huge, colorful set piece at the end. Like, I've put this on my list, but like. Con Air is like a 4 out of 10 movie for me. I'm not a massive fan of this movie, but I just I put this in because of that whole, like, Vegas is more memorable sort of the less time you spend, because then you get sort of, you do what you want to do in the time you the time you have, and then you come out of it and it's like, yo, I feel like we did so much in those 2 days. We got drunk, we gambled, we saw a show, we had a steak dinner, blah, 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 blah. You know, we stayed in a new hotel. Went out for some... Almost got laid, but you didn't because, you know, you didn't pay enough. Yeah, it's like, I feel like that's why I've added Con Air to sort of this Vegas movie list.
Yeah, nice. So I'm going to start off with Rush Hour 2.
Ooh.
So I love the way that this movie is set up. It's obviously, you know, your standard three acts, but each act is in a different city. Mm-hmm. So it starts off in Hong Kong, then it goes to LA, and it ends in Vegas. And it's watching Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker lose their shit all over Vegas casino. It was so fucking funny. Like, seeing there's a bit where Tucker is like, he's I think he's playing craps and he's rolling dice and he's just being this massive distraction and he's being such an asshole to everyone. He's acting like fucking Martin Luther King trying to get black people, white people, and Chinese people to coexist, and like he's whacking people with a stick when he's trying to. It's just so fucking funny. And then the action sequences are amazing because, you know, it's fucking Jackie Chan. How could they not be? So
Rush Hour is up there, like 1, 2, 3 best action comedies.
Yeah, I honestly believe, for me, the first one is the best of the three.
Mm.
Like I like 2 and 3, But I definitely think the first one's the best.
Yeah.
I can't. Which one? I've seen the first one the most times. Which probably, like, I feel like before I answer that question, maybe when we record next, I'll let you know. But I feel like I'm due a rewatch of the trilogy.
All right. Yeah. No worries. I got you.
The trilogy. I hope that fourth movie comes out this year.
Same.
But what about Vegas in this movie made you put this movie on your Vegas movie list? Like, what is it about, like, the interpretation, the stylization of Vegas that went...
It's... Yeah. In a word, opulence.
Okay. Nice.
Thank you. So
I thought I was on the beer. Shit. Someone get out a dictionary and search the word opulence, please. No, I turned Siri off on my phone.
So you're going into it's set in this casino. Like, it's owned by the Chinese triads, but
the Red Dragon is called, right? I think.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, but it's one of those things that's the way it's designed. It's designed as the second you step into this place, you are blitzed by something that's over the top, but luxurious and ridiculous and somehow thought provoking. It's just your senses are fucking cranked to 11 and they're just blasted. That's the Vegas that, you know, when I was a kid,
walking into Caesars.
It's
white. Like, there is none more white. Get me the whitest child, and they would disappear in the pillars and the walls of Caesars Casino. Timmy?
And
where's Timmy? I'm here, Mom. Holy shit!
and that's the thing. That's why, aside from obviously the set pieces and stuff, I feel like it captures that aspect of Vegas to a T.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I love that. Okay, so where am I going next? I've not ordered these movies. I've just got 5 movies that take place in Vegas.
No worries.
I think, yeah, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go with a 2014 war drama movie. This is my other movie I sort of hinted at that I didn't see on any Vegas list. It's called Good Kill with Ethan Hawke and Zoe Kravitz. So I say those names in 2023 and you're like, whoa. But like in 2014, Ethan Hawke was, I think, just coming off. What was that 10-year movie he did with Linklater? Boyhood. He was just coming off Boyhood. Zoe Kravitz had only just started her acting career, so it's not anything of, like, they're really proud of in their respective careers.
Yeah,
because, you know, war dramas, there's so many. This one takes place in Vegas, and I love the way Vegas plays a part in this movie. Like, beyond the gambling, the sex, the drugs, and the overall mass consumption, there's one other thing that happens in Nevada, near Vegas. Do you know what it is? Actually, no. You don't know. Military operations, bro. Literally 20 minutes down the strip in the middle of the fucking desert. There's a line that will probably appear again in this episode. You're still in the middle of the fucking desert. There's enough open space for satellite and radars to work undisturbed so that unmanned drones can carry out drone attacks across the fucking world.
Jesus.
See, like, basically, this is Ethan Hawke's character. Wake up, cook some fools, off to Vegas for drinks. I love how... Can you just imagine working to protect your country under the orders of your superior, only to see right next door what it is you're protecting?
Yep.
And it's like, all you see is like, I'm protecting this, like, debauchery, $5 cocktails, $5 steaks, when, like, and then you've got, like, the other half of Vegas, like, Like, did you know that, like, in the Bellagio, the fountains,
mm-hmm.
you stand on that sort of, like, boardwalk, you look forward, you see, like, the windows and shit, that's Prime Steakhouse.
Yep.
I've never had a steak more expensive than Prime Steakhouse, bro. To say it was, like, and can I sit here and tell you, like in a Matrix kind of way, fucking, what's that guy's name? Joe Pantoliano. I know this steak is juicy and delicious.
Yeah.
That's because the way the Matrix has programmed it. Like, just because that steak cost a lot of money doesn't make it good, bro.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, beyond a photo that's on the landing of me, my brother, my mum, and my dad, I don't... fuck off do I remember that steak. And it should be... I should be able to recall the flavour, the, like, the texture, but I don't. And it's, like, I love how Vegas is almost used as a bit of a, like, visual villain for this movie. Because, like, it, like, basically this whole standard life that Ethan Hawke lives becomes a little bit too much. He thinks his life is basically, like, just a day on repeat. And the one thing that sets apart every day is that he doesn't gamble in Vegas. He gambles outside of Vegas. And most people that go to Vegas enough will tell you, use the slot machines in the little Airbnbs outside of the strip, Fremont, that kind of area. He'll go to this gas station and he'll just put in a coin. Bosh. The movie ends with him putting in a coin and winning the jackpot, and he just doesn't give a shit. He is clocked out.
Fucking
like he refuses to drone strike on a few orders. He's fucked up he's fucked up his wife, like that kind of shit. Like, it's a really sort of hard hitting anti-war movie, especially like sort of anti-modern war movie. Like, even though these drones are unmanned, somewhere in Nevada they're being manned. Someone is being told to kill people. They have no idea who they are under the orders of a superior because they're deemed a threat to the United States of America. But the United States of America that's literally there for them to see is the glorified shithole that is Vegas. And I just think it's a different Vegas. Like, you see them partying not really partying. They're in a bar. I think they're in Luxor, or they talk about Luxor, but like, they're not enjoying themselves. Like, but everyone's enjoying themselves around them. It's awesome. It's a good movie. Well worth a watch. 100%.
Nice. Nice.
So it's two down, motherfucker. Oh well, two down for me. You see, you got one more to get. Yeah.
So I'm gonna. So my next movie is Swingers.
My next movie is Swingers, like, adjacent brother.
Okay.
If I don't know if you remember that, like, that movie. No, I'll let you talk about Swingers first.
Okay, I think I know which one you're talking about.
The one you saw with.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, sir. All
right. So. It does. So Vegas doesn't play like a massive role in like the overall story of the movie. It's in like at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quick trip to Vegas. It's two friends, and you know, it's Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn. You know, they're both actors and they're struggling, and you know, one gets the urge to go to Vegas, and the other one's like, oh, I'm trying to be all pragmatic and shit. It's like, nah, I'm not gonna fucking do that. And it's crazy. And cut two, they're on their way to fucking Vegas.
Yep.
And
that little, like, and that smash cut. It's like, I'm not going to Vegas. I don't have any money. I'm not going to Vegas. They're on the I-15.
Okay, I've got this much money.
Yeah, they're counting the money in the car. Like how much they're gonna gamble.
Like. And that's the thing, like, that scene has captured a couple of my absolute favorite Vegas trips to a fucking T. So it's A, it's completely out of the blue. It's spontaneous as fuck. It's bros going. It's one bro trying to make sure that he's even got enough money to fucking be in this city. And you know, it's an overnight thing. One of the first times I did this, I was in my undergrad. It was me and my roommates. We were all just hanging out, and one of them was like, you know, how crazy would it be if we just went to Vegas right now? It's like, what? I was like, yo, how crazy would it be if we went to Vegas right now? And everyone's like, I'm saying, man, I think it would be fucking crazy. So that's pretty much all it took. And the next thing you know, the five of us are loading into a car and we're going to Vegas. And we're not even in Vegas long, mind you. I think we're only there for like three hours. And then we came back. But in those 3 hours, we walked up and down the strip. Me and two of the other guys got blitzed out of our fucking skulls. We were just drinking as quickly as we could. And then we started leaving, and I remember being like really nervous because I couldn't tell who was driving. I was that fucked up. And I was like, yo, the other drunk guy's not driving, is he? And he wasn't. And I was like, oh, thank God. And I just remember everyone had passed out. And I was like, you know, I'm going to stay awake. This dude, I don't want this dude driving alone. You know, keep him company and shit. But the whole drive, dude, I was just like, in and out.
Like me trying to stay awake with you. And if you've been in a car with me, I'm like a cat. I will just like, I will be like, yo, bro, how you doing? Start a conversation. 2 seconds later, out. Gone.
You're snoozing, dude.
So
that was the first time. But the best time is when you and I randomly, one night in Vegas, MGM,
I was going to bring up this story. We were in Fantasia. We were playing pool. Yep. And like, I was so depressed because I'd just broken up with my girlfriend. And I was like, bro, like, you just want to go to Vegas like next week. And like, you look at, like, you stop drinking your drink. You look at me. It's like, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I could see how serious you were. And I was like, this motherfucker's for real. He actually wants to go to Vegas next week.
I've used this Hotel Tonight app so many times that I, yeah, like, almost on a weekly basis, I get deals. It's like, hey, you can, like, because no one's in Vegas right now, you can stay at the Aria for $100. And I was like, man, I'm not about to pay $4,000 for a flight for a $100 hotel, even though that hotel's on the list. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it was so nice to knock out the MGM. I remember that. Like, that was when I got up on the stage and did the worm.
You did.
We went to go see like this nudie show, and the host is like bringing people up, and he sees me. Then I'm there, of course, in my Hawaiian Seahawks top, and he's like, "You." I'm like, "Oh, fuck, man." And yet, like, we had to copy. Like half of the guys, mm-hmm, had to copy this one guy. Half the other guys, the guys weren't naked, by the way, although they may have been. I can't remember. And half the guys had to copy this other guy. I had to copy this one guy. And he looks at me and just goes, "Try and do your best, man." I was like, "The fuck do you mean by that, Brev?" And he starts doing the worm. I was like, "Oh, you've done something I can do." I ripped my top off and I go into it.
The crowd was like, bro, they loved you, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking uproar,
it's like, hire
dude.
Me, bro. Like, a big guy that moves, like, everyone loves that guy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Just not but anyone. It's, no, like no one really loves me, but you love me. It's fake love.
But it's like, it's the spontaneity and the excitement of, you know, these trips that it was easy to put Swingers on the list.
Oh yeah, man. So so the movie I was sort of toying around with when you mentioned Swingers, I actually had Swingers and this movie combined because I couldn't choose.
Oh.
Cool. But in talking about them, I was like, I can talk about this movie more than a lot more than the other movie. I went with Go. So both Go and Swingers are early movies from Doug Liman. So Swingers is a bit more of a personal movie. Go is a lot more of a crazy crime comedy. Sort of the stories around the characters evolve. But there's a huge, huge Vegas sequence. And I just love the energy this movie has throughout the movie that, like, if it didn't include a Vegas sequence, you'd want it to. It's why this movie's called Go. It's always, like, the movie itself is, like, on speed, even though speed and drugs play sort of a powerful message throughout the movie.
Yeah.
This Vegas, like, and I just feel like this Vegas sequence probably helped shape so many, like, Entourage sitcoms with their own Vegas storylines throughout the 90s and the 2000s because of how many characters are involved and how it sort of blends this, like, in a chaotic way, like, expectations. Like, if you go to Vegas with multiple people, if you don't know what everyone's expectation is, someone's going to get let down and they're going to have a shit time. They're going to get super quiet. They're not going to spend any money. Like, they're not going to want to go out and really do anything. Like, I've been to Vegas so many times where that's happened. And it's like, for fuck's sake, man. Like, this is why I'm so vocal in that car ride. What does everyone want out of this trip? And for me, it's the same thing. And, like, someday I'll get it. I just want to sit on a table for a couple of hours and gamble. Because in the early morning or the really late, like, really early morning... You can do that, and I've done it once with what is essentially one of my closest friends. Like, we were there, like, sort of, I think we started at like 1 o'clock and we didn't finish till like 5, because we each put down like a couple of hundred on the blackjack table, and this man plays blackjack. Like, this was a time where, like, if he went on, like, if he was struggling for money, he goes, hang on, I'm just gonna take this last 20 to the roulette table. About 5 minutes later, this man comes back with about $200, bro. I'm like, why are we playing blackjack when we can go make money on roulette, man? And it's like, he goes, I know how to skim it, like, quickly. Like, what I can do on blackjack is like, I can make $200 last for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
So we just, like, we betting the table minimum. We get blackjack every now and then. And if you don't know, the reason you get blackjack in casinos is because they give you like a dollar and a quarter. That's the shit you tip the maid with. Now, give people an insight. You see someone drinking beer from the maid that comes around to the tables, you slap that person. I don't care if you don't know them, you slap that person. You go, motherfucker, this shit is essentially free. Ask for the whiskey or a cocktail or some shit. Shit that will usually cost you about 20 quid. Make bang for your buck, bro. And I was like, that's my expectation. And this is what this movie does. It's the preparation that leads into Vegas. There's like the opening of this movie is like, you don't really get it, like, until you actually see the Vegas sequence. It's like, oh, that's why those motherfuckers were like getting all that beer, trying to score all those drugs. They were going crazy because they had to get to they wanted to get to Vegas before like it got too late so they could make the most out of their day. But it's like, for me, that's half the trip. Yeah. Like, I've gone to Vegas with you. I think it was the Groupon. where I literally spent half the day with you in preparation. We filled up the car, we got the food, we got supplies. But like, there's always that mixture of expectations that never really goes well, especially when someone wants to drink more than gamble, someone wants to get laid, that they probably end up won't doing. This movie is a great example for me. The idea of Vegas is sometimes better than the execution.
Yeah.
Like the energy, right. The energy that you get, like the build up, like that moment before it all happens is, it's like, oh fuck, we're actually fucking going to Vegas. And it's like, there's a little part on the drive where as if like halfway down, if you're not with the right people, that drive will get super weird and super awkward. And you'll be like, oh shit. This weekend might not actually go how I wanted to.
Oh shit.
Yeah, two great movies. Honestly, both movies are highly recommended. Sebastian, I know you watched Go for the first time when you came around to the UK. I think you may have seen Swingers before, but we were like, I think we watched Go one night, and the next night we watched Swingers.
Yeah, no, I've seen Swingers before, so like the connection that you have with Go, I have with, more with Swingers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because I only saw Go once, but I loved it. I thought it was really great.
Both movies are like great sort of. I would like for me, I would put them in that sort of coming of age category.
Yeah,
like you know, sort of. But like, I put all the movies that in that category of let me sit down with the boys, order some food, have a couple of beers. We can pause, like pause at some moments to be like, "Yo, that shit reminds me of you, motherfucker." Like. Which is, you know, Jon Favreau talking about his ex-girlfriend with the girl he should be getting laid with.
Yeah.
That's you, motherfucker. Sitting there with your hood up all defensive.
Shut up.
Shut up. Stop attacking me. Listen, I want to talk about my third movie, damn it.
He's trying to get to my next movie, bro.
What's your next movie, G?
So this one's kind of it feels like an unexpected pick compared to what we've spoken to about thus far, but I feel like it works in the way it uses Vegas, and it's Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief.
Isn't that being remade?
Yeah, it's being turned into a TV show.
I don't know why I said that. I've had two beers, one of them being 8%. So, sorry. Shut up. Sebastian's talking. Sebastian, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, tell me. There's parts of Vegas in this movie?
Yes. It's a big part, actually. So, the idea of the movie is, you know, they're searching for these orbs. And they act as a key to quickly get you out of Hades, which is what they're ultimately trying to get to. And one of those orbs is at this hotel in Vegas called the Lotus Hotel. And as you watch it, you learn that they're essentially under like a siren song to get sucked in and, you know, stay. And once one of the characters kind of starts to break free, he realizes that they've been doing this forever. Like, there's a dude there playing fucking Galaga in an arcade box, looking like he's straight up in there since 73, 80, you know, late 70s, early 80s. And it's like, that's what this is doing. And I think that's the perfect metaphor for Vegas. It is a place where you can so easily get sucked in, even if you hit your peak with it. Like, oh, you know, I'm tired. I'm sick of all the walking. I've drinking enough. I've gambled enough. I've eaten enough. I'm fine. There is always something else in this fucking city that will find its way to call out to you, and it will suck you in. And you're like, God damn.
It will suck you off. And wait.
It's kind of one of the appeals of the city. It's
lose yourself.
Place, like I said, you absolutely lose yourself. Like it can literally be whatever you want. If you have the right amount of money, it can be the most amazing thing. If you don't have that much money, it is a great escape from everything. And that's what I feel like, that's what Vegas ultimately is. It's like this hotel where it can, because people keep going, have been there, going there for years. Like, my grandparents would go all the time. I have aunts and uncles who go all the fucking time. It is the ultimate escape. And it also, like, the ultimate, like, risk because of such fucking enticement, which is like the whole thing. This, you know, you're being enticed because it wants to suck you completely off. Dry, like it wants to drain your life,
and it wants to suck your soul. Sorry, I'll stop with the blowjob synonyms. But you, like, just, dude, you're just leading me into them.
I was like that last one. I was actively like, I've already started this sentence.
I'm gonna set him off. Damn it, Ed, you horny toad.
But yeah, I think ultimately,
you can cut that part out.
But no, so yeah, that's why Percy Jackson is a good one for me. It's the way it uses Vegas as like almost a mythical entrapment for souls is fucking dope.
I think if we're gonna keep doing these listicles, which I want us to keep doing, I think we need to start doing like a curveball of the episode. And even though we haven't finished the episode, I'm going to give you, Sebastian, the first ever curveball of the episode. You don't actually get anything beyond me sort of saying, you got this shit. So, there you go, dude. Curveball of the episode. That was awesome. I like that. Not every Vegas movie needs to be R-rated with titties and gambling and shit. Like, because Percy Jackson, Lightning
Thief. I mean, don't
get
me wrong.
Like, that's a child's
those
movie.
Those are nice. Like, I mean, no, you know, titties and all that stuff, they're very nice, but... Yeah, you don't necessarily need them. Because they're, the first time
are
I went
nice,
to Vegas...
Man. They good. All shapes and sizes, they good.
like I was saying, like the first time I went to Vegas, I was a kid. I couldn't gamble, I couldn't drink, but there's still... It's like a massive fucking theme park. Like, it's all like the crazy hotels.
You stayed at the Circus Circus, right?
Yeah, no, oh God, yeah. I hate Circus so much. swear to God, I cannot walk around that fucking place and touch any of the railing every goddamn time. Just, fuck.
Menu dribblers. Just licking the poles, licking the windows. Nah, that's awesome. Where do I want to go? I want to save this one for last. Because I think I know what your last one's going to be, and this will be a nice little tie-in. So I'm going to go with a movie that when I wanted to be an actor, I watched this actor in this movie, and it made me like, I was like, yo, that guy was great. Like, it actually made me want to go to the same university he did. Take the same course he did. Like, just, I was inspired by this guy. I loved his ethic. I loved this movie. I idolized this movie. I thought this movie was in my top 10 for the longest time. There's a few reasons now why it's not. I'm 2008 drama 21. Now, unfortunately, this movie stars Kevin Spacey. Also, unfortunately, the lead in this movie is Jim Sturgis. What cult following this movie did have 8-10 years ago, not so much anymore, because like all anyone seems to see or read about online now is that it's one of those massive, like, it's like a poster picture of like whitewashing in Hollywood. The lead character should have been an Asian MIT student. Jim Sturgis is not at all Asian. He's from Manchester. No, he's not from Manchester. He's from London. He's English, though. He's English. So, one, they had to train him to talk with an American accent, which even then isn't even a Boston accent because he's an MIT student. So, it's like, what American accent is that besides just, like, whatever an English actor would do? Like, at least Tom Holland tried to capture the accent in some cases. People may call him out on it, but like, you know, he does well.
He's making the effort.
In this movie, he puts in the effort. But it's like, I just love how this movie is a bunch of MIT students led by a professor to take down Vegas. And I was like, if I was super duper fucking smart, yeah. Back in the day, that's what I would do. There's certain technology in place now that if you know you're going to win, you'll get kicked out. And you'll get told you're not allowed to go back to that casino or any sister casinos, because they're like, you'll be surprised that when you go to Vegas, there's like, you're either in an MGM Resorts or you're in a Caesar's Rewards. Like, those are the two big ones. I know there's a few other ones lying around. But like, on the strip, you're either in one of those, you're in one or the other. So like, as soon as you fuck up in one, you fuck up in all of them, pretty much. Yeah. Like, they all, like, they communicate between each other. But, like, back in the day, in the early 2000s, a group of MIT students was like, yo, we need to pay for, like... Because MIT is, like, before university. You go to MIT to study before you go to, like, massive post-grad, like, in Harvard or Yale or anything like that. Like, it's like a jumping point. You go to MIT and then go to work afterwards, but most people use MIT, like most students use MIT as like, oh, I'm here before I go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's money on money on money on money. And like these students, like most of these students that are working under this professor, they're super smart, but they don't have a lot of money. So this professor's like, I know where you can get money. Put your brain to good use and go make some money in Vegas. And at the same time, make me some money. But like, I love the way this movie, for the first half, glamorizes like the shopping, the spending, the parties, like the staying up late, like the gambling, like the getting absolutely hammered, like so basically giving up on your student life because you're preparing yourself for so much more beyond that. But then, like, what comes into play is the whole, the jealousy, the greed, the gluttony, like, you consume too much, you want, like, you've had a little bit, so you want more, and then when someone has more than you or something other than you, it's like, I want that. It's like, it really sort of plays into this, like, sort of almost like the I want to call it like a, sort of like a Vegas curse. Like, this is why I'm like, you spend, like, if you've set a, like, set an amount of time you want to be in Vegas, and like, don't overplan it, but definitely have something to do.
Yeah.
Like, every day you're there. Like, the like, if there is a day you're there where there's nothing planned, you'll find out like, sort of, I don't really know how to describe it. It's just, you'll just sit there and you'll just find yourself, and like, hours have passed and you're like, what have we actually done? Like is Vegas just like taking up all of my time? Like, you can just find like Vegas is in and of itself like a monster. It's infectious, and if you spend too much time there, you'll become a different person, and that's what happens in 21. These students literally become different people, to the point where they have to like sort of actually get the shit kicked out of them to realize.
Fucking A. I think you were the one who introduced me to that movie. Like, I hadn't seen it before.
Oh, shit.
And I remember getting into it a lot. Like, I really enjoyed that movie. And I knew it was going to be on your list. Like, how could you fucking not
dick.
Be?
I love Jim Sturgess. I think that, like, that guy is, like, He is forever and always has been an underrated actor for me. He's just taken the wrong roles. Like, he did 21, in which the lead should have been an Asian. And then he actually played, like, an Asian in Cloud Atlas. Like, he was CGI'd to look like an Asian through makeup and, like, in CG. In, like, because every act, like, Cloud Atlas is, like, sort of plays, like, into, like, the DNA. So every every character, if you see the actor playing a different character, like, their like they're related through history, like if like through birthmarks and shit. So like in that sort of case, it makes sense, but it's still a bit jarring to see.
Yeah, this is no good.
Yeah, and it's like 4 hours long. It's Cloud Atlas the book is better than the movie, and I don't say that a lot.
Fucking A.
All right, dude. What's your second to last?
So mine is kind of an epic in like in the sense of its runtime. So it's a Martin Scorsese movie. It is Casino.
Yes. Yeah, that runtime will get you.
Yeah. Like, it is a great fucking movie.
It's a great, fucking movie.
It is just a...
But it is long.
It's just... Marty, it's just a touch too long, my dude. But, like, what I love about the movie is it captures the spirit of, you know, original Vegas. You know, it was a haven for the mob. It was fucking Eden for the mob.
Yeah.
Like, they can make a stupid amount of money... It's like very low risk, and like anyone you had to take care of was very easy to take care of because you're in the middle of the fucking desert. And you know, it's seeing Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci kind of at odds as opposed to, you know, friends was very nice change in dynamic for me.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest reason that this movie is so good, like I said, it captures that essence history and that spirit of old Vegas, you know, the mob ways, and like even like
the Vegas you forget existed.
Like you see what Vegas is now and you're like, oh, this is great vacation. This, it wasn't that before. Like, there was a reason it was called Sin City. Motherfuckers were being killed. The mob ran the city, but they did it to such an extent that they made it so fucking successful, and they made it grow so much they phased themselves out. Which is so crazy. Like, the idea you create this safe haven, but it becomes more and more than you can control. The haven decides, hey, get the fuck out.
That's literally what cryptocurrency is becoming. It was this safe haven for people to make quick money and is now being on its way to being regulated.
Goddamn.
The digital Vegas, so to speak. But nah, like I think I've seen Casino start to finish once, and I would say I'm due rewatch. But like we say that, I thought Avatar 2 was long, bro. Like, Martin Scorsese says, he literally says Avatar 2 ain't shit. Like, that's a toilet break. All right, last movie time. I think I know what you're choosing, so I'm going to go with the sister of that movie, and I'm going to allow you to choose the one that I think you've chosen. I'm going to go with Ocean's 13.
You know, Ocean's 13. Okay.
I've gone with Ocean's 13. If you haven't gone with the other one I'm thinking of, we've upset a long-standing fan of the podcast, and there will be repercussions. So I 2007 crime comedy. You know the fucking cast. I definitely quote the other one more, but as a Vegas movie, I prefer this one. I love watching casinos getting taken down. Like, the first one, like, the first Ocean's movie is more of a heist movie for me. Like, this one has a living, breathing Vegas feel to it. Like, they're actually building a casino. Like, usually in Vegas movies, like, they're already in a built casino. In this one, like, they're building a new one. And it's like, I love the idea of that. Like, the casino they build is actually a really nice casino. It's just too bad Al Pacino in the movie is a complete cock. Like, but, like, I think for me, the reason I want to really choose this movie is one scene. And it's Danny and Rusty. and you and like it was is this scene when they're walking along the strip that mimics this like the walk they make from the first one, and they're talking about how like you just from that scene you realize, yeah, these motherfuckers aren't going to make another Ocean movie. Just the way they're talking about how like Vegas has changed over the years, like as their characters, like they've been in that Vegas their whole life, but like what they're really talking about is like as actors where they've come from to where they are now and how it's all changed. And like as someone who's been to Vegas so many times throughout the years, yeah, it's like not like COVID aside, before like as I went to Vegas the last time, I was like, yo, like this is like it changed it is a blink and you miss it, like unless you're there every year, like you spend more than like a year or two going to Vegas, you go back and what you think you remember, get the fuck out. It's a piece of Play-Doh. Never finished. It's just someone else's turn to make something out of it, and then you put it back where you found it so that someone else can make what they need to make out of it. And I think that's where Ocean's 13 is for me. Like, it is a great departure to a great series of movies. And I'll never leave Vegas. It literally has part of my soul. That's why I keep going back. I'm trying to find it.
Yep.
I'd lost even more.
Oh, man. Shit.
You're going to let me down.
I remember I stayed at the Riviera the last year it was going to be open. Because I went back the next year.
That's a big piece of history right there.
It was gone. It was done. I was like, fuck. I was here last year. And I was like, god damn. So, to not disappoint, my last pick has to be Ocean's 11.
Yeah! You didn't let me down!
There you go, Ryan. I know you've listened to this whole episode waiting for these two movies, and we gave them to you last.
You know what's fucking crazy, though? I wasn't 100% sure if you were going to pick... I knew you were going to pick it between one... I swear to God, dude, I knew you were going to pick between one of these two. So I had a plan for each. And everything you said, legit, everything you said about 13... is exactly why I was going to pick 13. The evolution, it captures the evolution of the overall fucking city. That was my whole thing. And I was like, this motherfucker needs to get the mother hell out of my
trucker,
head.
Dude. That hurt like a butt cheek on a stick.
But as much as I love 13, 11 does it for me because it, at the end of the day, for me, represents what Vegas is. Opportunity. The whole movie is just getting everyone together. He's selling them on the opportunity that they can get as rich as possible in Vegas in a couple of seconds, in a couple minutes, in and out, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what Vegas is. It's opportunity. I keep hammering this home that Vegas can be whatever the hell you want, because when you're there, if you want it bad enough, you can be fucking anyone.
Absolutely.
You can do fucking anything, and this movie captures that shit to such a T that if I don't watch it before I go to Vegas the night before a trip to Vegas, trip's fucked.
Chalked. It's chalked.
Dude, swear to God. The one time I didn't watch this movie, I went to Vegas. I got to my hotel room. A bottle of tequila blew up in my fucking suitcase. Everything was soaked. I'm walking around Vegas smelling like a goddamn cantina. I'm not even there a day. People looking at me like I've been on a 3-week bender, dude. So yeah, every time. This is the movie. This movie captures all of that for me. This movie is Vegas for me.
Damn. I love that opportunity. You can so that's literally what Vegas is. It's the that's literally what Vegas is. It's the land of opportunity. Like, it's a great place to end this episode, really. There's no place like Vegas. Dubai can try. Florida can try. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anywhere on Earth can try, but, like, you cannot capture that, just the consistent lightning in a bottle that Vegas has.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. Vegas and made a deal with the devil, and, like, that you know, it's still paying dividends.
Sin City, bro.
Sin City, Sin bro. Sin City. And just remember, if you are driving to Vegas anytime soon, as soon as you see that horizon, you gotta play one song and one song only. What is it, Sebastian?
Viva Las Vegas!
And there's this week's copyright. All right, everybody. We want to know about your Vegas trips, your Vegas memories. Let us know. Don't forget to hit that like button. Share that subscribe button like there's no tomorrow. And just, you know, tell your friends. Tell your friends that, you know, if you want to free some balls, listen to Free Balling.
We're a good time. Have a good time with us.
It's the best time.
Damn right.
Deuces.
See ya.
Come join us on this trip. Now we're like drinking full wing out the script.
Come on, man. Come join us on a trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weakness calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.